Hello guys, we're starting a couple of minutes. I ask you please share the space for having more people in here. Of course, we know that we are starting holiday, so it will be a bit difficult, but let's try to share this and we start in a couple of more minutes. Thanks, thanks. Okay, let's start slowly with the introductions. Of course, for everyone knowing, the space is always recorded, so anyone can jump in and hear the record after the space is over. In fact, a lot of people we are seeing that maybe they can't make it on time, but they can listen to the recording after. So it's important to result that in the conversation we have everything of the space recorded and ready to be played after the space. So, hello everyone, I'm Kronos from Spots Club. Welcome to another Artist Weekly. It is a space where artists can share their experiences, talk about what the difficulties they face, the successes they had, and learn a little more about how blockchain technology can help solve some of these problems. At Spots Club, we develop tools for help aspiring artists to grow, reach new ears and eyes, and take the advantage of the opportunities Web3 offers to them. A marketplace where you can create and sell your collection, but not only that, a place where you can interact more closely with the audience and learn how to strengthen the bond. You will have your personalized art and two guys plus machines. I want to start with a quick introduction by everyone here. So Yaka, let me know who you are and what do you do.
Hi guys. So I'm Croatian DJ and producer doing house music for the last 15 years. I'm resident of the collective's BSH events and No Guest List project, and also LMF Festival from capital city of Zagreb.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for joining. I have a couple of questions for digging into more what you are doing. Let's continue with other introductions. Corsair, hello, hello. Let me know who are you and what are you doing.
Hi there. So yeah, my name's Dave. I'm based in Manchester in the UK. As a producer and DJ, I play sort of mainly techno and produce techno as well, sort of along the sort of industrial style. And I also work as a booking agent and artist liaison.
Excellent, excellent. Thanks a lot for being here. I appreciate a lot your time, guys. Also, I have a couple of questions to share with you. The next one we have are two guys, plus machines. They are two people in the same group. It's really interesting, and I have a couple of things pointing out in that direction. Hello, guys. Where are you from and what you are doing?
Hello, hello, everyone. We hope everyone is fine. We are two guys plus machines, Esteban and Santiago Saez from Bogota, Colombia. We are electronic music producers, and we also have an electronic live music act. We play mainly house and techno, but we also love more subgenres like electro, like breakbeat, like acid. So we are very happy to be here with you, and we hope this space is amazing. Thanks.
Bienvenidos, bienvenidos al space. Gracias por estar aquí. Okay. Let's continue with a couple of questions that I want to dig in with you guys. You can take the time you want. It's something for hearing you, for hearing your experiences, for hearing what can we do better in Sports Club as well, because this is some kind of bit of feedback for us. It's really important. And we use this kind of spaces like a great tool for know better the situation. So I want to start with Jaka, like pretty basic question, but it's interesting for us. What music, I know you play techno, but what music do you listen to at home? You know, when you are quiet, when you have to relax a bit, what is that type of music you listen?
Well, I can say my favorite music for listening is disco, also funk, and mainly the slow music. Especially when I work on my computer, I like to listen it in the background. And I found a lot of inspiration in listening disco that I use in my production. Also, when I'm in the car, I mainly listen just local radio stations most of the time. But sometimes when I want to check some new music that I did and that I prepared for some gigs, I play also some of that in my car. So, but basically, the slower the music, and it makes me chill. So it's perfect for me. Yeah.
Well, that's great. That's great. Do you use some of that disco for making your music? Do
sure.
you mix some
yeah.
of those things?
Yeah, I did a lot of sampling in my music from the disco, from the funk. From different genres, like swing from early days and stuff like that. So mainly when I started doing music, I was doing mainly disco and jacking house, and it's 99% of it. It's inspired by disco and that the disco grew. But lately, I am doing also some minimal deep tech and tech house where I don't use samples, but I do everything by myself. There was a lot of influence and sampling in my discography from the disco and soul music. Yeah.
And when did you started creating music? When you was earlier or when you was young? Sorry, or not that much?
Oh, I think it was like when I was 20 years old. I started doing it seriously, let's say. Before that, I was doing some gigs in high school, but mainly all kinds of genres of music. But then I started to go out more in the nightclubs where you could just listen electronic music, and I got fall in love with it. So yeah, definitely. So I was like parallel starting to DJing with the electronic music and to do my stuff. Yeah, and I think my first release was in 2011, I think, yeah.
Wow, that's insane, that's insane. Thank you so much. Right. We have also here as a speaker, Amir. Hello, Amir, how are you? Let me know who you are and what are you doing?
GM, thank you so much for the introduction. How are you doing today?
Pretty good. Just chilling with a pretty great guests here. I have a couple of questions to them. We want to learn as much as possible of the experiences of the guests here. And of course, we know you since a couple of weeks back, and we are really interested to hear your take as well. What are you doing right now? What is the type of music you are creating?
Hell yeah. Nice to meet you all, guys. Finally. I wanted to join earlier, but for some reasons, you know, I wasn't able to do that. Finally joined you. Yeah, actually, right now I'm not releasing anything. I had a couple of projects in my past, and right now I'm ready to get back. I'm ready to get back to releasing. I'm ready to get back to dropping, I think, maybe even music NFTs and then Web2 releases. I think I will start doing that in January. Actually, the only thing I can share right now is that a couple of snippets. One of them is in my pinned tweet. You can check it out, feel free. So yeah, this is what I'm doing right now. And about my background, I started being a musician in 2007, I guess, or 8. I started learning how to play a guitar, and then I organized my first band. So we started playing grunge music, like Nirvana inspired music, and then we slided to some, I don't know what was that, I think hardcore, punk hardcore, hardcore metal, something like that. We were touring, we were recording, but in my opinion, we weren't successful, if I can say something, if I can formulate my thoughts like this. So I stopped, we decided to stop in 2015. And then I started my business. I actually, let's say, forgot about music. So, but it always, you know, it always been a part of my life that I cannot, let's say, resist. So this is why in 2018, I organized another band. It was pretty short. I mean, the lifetime of this band was super short. And in the end of the 2019, I started my solo project. It was pretty, I'm not saying successful, but you know, I gained some numbers. I was pretty inspired. But in early 2022, I stopped it again for some reason. So right now I'm like trying to get back to music, trying to find some time from my business, trying to find some time from my Twitter things. And yeah. I'm trying to get back to music, to releasing, and I'm not sure if I answered your question, because you know the topic is too huge to answer in a couple of words, so I don't want to take too much of your time, guys. Thanks.
No, it's great. It's great, and I really appreciate your experience here. I love to hear the resilience, because it's true, you know, maybe we can fail a couple of times, but being consistent, being resilient is something that after all the work will give us success. Is something that we always speak around in Sports Club. We need to show up, we need to be here in the worst moment, but also we need to be here in the best moments. And I think that we are facing a pretty good moment coming. So I think you are coming back at a perfect time, not only speaking around Web3, but also speaking around the music as well. I think is the right moment. So I really appreciate your experience. Be with me a couple of more minutes, because I have more questions for us, for you guys, but I want to continue with this topic around why did you start it, or how did you start it, when did you start it. So, Kortzer, can you share your experiences starting with your career?
Yeah, of course. So I've always loved music ever since a kid and always wanted to, you know, either be in a band or on a stage in some way, shape or form. So I started off really young, you know, playing guitar and stuff like that and having a band, and was quite into sort of punk and rock music. And you know, then when I got to about 16 years old, I sort of fell into going to festivals, raves, and just became in love with electronic music, basically. So that's how I got into it. Not long after that, I started producing, sort of probably about the age of 17. I went to a production college in Manchester and got into it that way, really. A bit like Yakka, I was playing a lot of Jack in House back in the day. That's kind of the first sort of music that I was DJing. And one really good experience at Warehouse Project turned me into a techno lover. So that was kind of how I got into producing. And sort of just slowly over the years, have, you know, spent more time getting into the production side, working with different people, to the point where last year I started my own techno label. That's a Manchester orientated label. So on there, I've been releasing my own music as well as releasing some other amazing producers from the city. So yeah, it's been a wild journey, sort of the last 10 years, and I'm forever learning. But I think that's what it's all about.
Well, that's great. That's great. And how is the community there in Manchester? There are a lot of people interested in techno, or not that many?
Yeah, definitely. There's a huge sort of community, really, and it has been for quite a long time. I remember when I was 18, I first, because I'm not originally from Manchester, I'm from in the countryside, sort of about an hour away. Manchester was always the place that I'd go to, and I remember as an 18-year-old, that sense of community was really strong, and it was something that pushed me further into that sound and down that route. So yeah, in answer to your question, there is a really strong techno community in Manchester, and obviously you have institutions such as the Warehouse Project that brings a certain attraction to the city. But in a smaller sense, there's some smaller capacity clubs, which are sort of 300 cap, which have a really sort of deep-rooted and interconnected community of all different peoples, of, you know, all different shapes, sizes, you know, colours, races, religions. And, you know, it's fantastic. So I think it's worth, you know, in answer to your question, highlighting a couple of promoters from the city who have kind of been linchpins, I guess, of that community. One of which is called Meat Free. It's a collective run by three girls now, two of which are called Blasher and Alit. If you haven't heard of them, definitely check them out. Great DJs. And the other girl is called Alice. And they've been running Meat Free for 10 years now. And yeah, what can I say? That's kind of been the community that's taught me, inspired me, and allowed me to sort of grow in a musical sense. And the other promoter is a brand called Teletech, who are really big across Europe now and have almost like a cult following. So the techno scene in Manchester is alive and kicking.
Well, that's great. That's great. And you're being really humble and kind mentioning all these guys, all these labels, because it's true, in the music industry, we need to help each other a lot. We need to try to grow together. I think that is the perfect way, creating connections, helping each other to grow in more the audience and pushing forward what are you doing in your place. Something that I don't want to take the conversation yet to the Web3 field, but something that I feel this work helps a lot is creating this sense of community as well. Imagine that you can reach a lot of people from all different places of the world is something that is really important in the life of an emerging artist. You know, I know you guys are not starting, you have your career already going and pretty successful at the moment, but it's true that people who is just starting, maybe they have a lot of talent and they can reach a lot of ears, you know. So I really appreciate you pointing out all these labels that help grow in the music in that place of the world. Let's continue with two guys. I would love to hear this experience, because something interesting to me, and when we have duos in the space, I always like to ask, how do you do for working together? You know, I was seeing the videos of you guys playing together, and looks really difficult to coordinate both at the same time. So please share with me an experiences on how did you start it and some of how do you work together.
Of course. Well, we're brothers, so we've been around like 30 years now together. So for us, it's very, very easy to communicate and to play together. We really started back in like 2015 when Esteban, who is also in the room here together.
Hello, guys.
With us. Hi, buddy. He started playing like around like... what, like 2015 he started DJing, then after DJing he started like wanted to make his own music. So when I was on him back in 2015, I was like, hey, this is amazing. We have been lovers of electronic music since we were kids, since we were able to start downloading music. After we learned about music production, our teacher, who is a very important live actor here from Colombia, told us like, hey, you should play live. DJing is an art, of course, but you should play live. You can promote your music better with a live act. So we start buying machines like back in 2018, and we started our project officially in 2020 in the pandemic. So we started playing with our machines, we started making content, and then after that everything is been like an amazing journey. We started playing gigs in 2021, and this year we have been growing a lot because of what you said earlier, because of community, because we believe in the power of technology, we believe in the power of community, and that is one of our main like approaches with the music industry, right? I don't know if you, Esteban, want to say something else.
Hey guys, hey everyone, thanks for inviting me to this space. Oh yeah, I think we have been a pretty like aficionate to electronic music since always. I remember having an iPod, a shuffle iPod, the classic one, and listen to electronic music every day. So I think we have always had this vibe and this love for electronic music. And as Santiago told you, I got very curious about 2015, 2016 to learn about music. And I think the DJ world opened me that curiosity for music. When I got into DJing, I knew that it was just the beginning. I wanted to learn more. So we started producing and we started to creating this project. We actually were, it was a very hobby until 2020, until the pandemic, when we decided to give it a more professional look. So that's how everything started. And I think we worked together very, very well. You know, at the beginning, we used to practice like 3 times per week. So we think we know very good each other, and we have like our roles defined. At the beginning, we wanted to do all by ourselves, but then we realized that Santiago is very good at percussion with batteries, and that's his main task. And by myself, I try to be like the more DJ guy. I am the one who mixes all the sounds and who mix all the voices and synths. So I think we have reached that level of cooperation, I will say that is that. And we know each other about our all entire life, so that helps a lot to get really coordinated on stage.
Well, that's great. Yes, it sounds like you guys complement each other pretty well. Like you both have their own role, you know, a role in the duo, and it's perfect. For me, it sounds pretty difficult, but it's true. If you are brothers, you know each other pretty well, so it won't be that hard. Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Hello, all. Just wanted to say hello to all the speakers. I'm really glad that we are all here, and because the conversation between you guys and us will be really, really interesting. So thank you for joining. I wanted to point it out just one thing. Like we made a topic about like how did electronic music like took over the world, and I think you three are really great examples of doing it, because like you all mentioned that you started with some, I don't know, punk metal, with some bands, with some disco music and so on, and at the end you came to electronic music, probably because of its passion, community and so on, like you liked it, right? So basically this is how electronic music took over the world, I think, you know, by having people doing amazing things on some local and regional level, and some of you like international level and so on. But like you are the ones who are the promoters of the culture, and that's the amazing thing. So just like thank you for being here and sharing your experiences.
Great. Thanks, Andrew. So something around this, which is really interesting, how the electronic music grow in time, is something that I want to hear the opinion of you, Jaka. What do you think? This kind of music grow a lot in the past couple of years? Is something that is not growing, will grow more in future? What is your take around the growth of the genre of electronic music?
Oh, that's the interesting question. And to be clear, I think it's growing all the time. It always has some upsides, downs. That's natural for everything in this world. But for the last couple of years, especially after the corona, I think that the year before COVID-19 was for me the big peak, the best year for me in my career. And after corona, I think things are getting better and better, and that it's like growing all the time. For example, if I talk about the scene in Croatia, you can see every summer a new festival are coming to our seaside. New festivals are showing up in the continental part of the country. We are a small country, but there's a lot of the festival. Even the smaller places, smaller towns are like getting back after some few years of not doing much. I think it's completely natural, but when you see a lot of new DJs, a lot of new artists, a lot of new music is coming out, is definitely the grow. The other thing that we can discuss is the quality or something like that, but in the end, it still grows, and in the end, the quality always jumps out and gets recognized, you know. Yeah, so I definitely think it grows.
Let me just say, we're talking about like events, like organizers of events, like massive types, you know. For example, Jaka, can we name some festivals like just there that came to Croatia?
Yeah, sure.
To explain how the scene evolved, you know, just in 5 years.
Sure thing. For example, you all know for the Ultra Festival, Ultra Europe is in Croatia for like 10 years now. Defected came in Croatia few years ago and doing a lot. They started at the seaside, and now they are even starting to do festivals in capital city Zagreb. We have LMF festival in Zagreb. That's the biggest Zagreb's electronic festival for the last 3 years. So it's pretty new festival and pretty big for the Zagreb. BSH events that I'm resident of, they are doing amazing thing for the last 10 years, bringing the huge DJs and doing a lot. And for example, on the seaside, I can even count how much festivals there are in the Novalja, the Pag Island with the very, very big
it's like
clubs.
Hideout.
Yeah, Hideout definitely. The Sonus, you heard for Sonus. It's so, yes. So strong. So big. All the names of the electronic music are there on the Sonus. It's crazy big. So yeah, I think it's just growing and growing, and it's getting bigger and bigger.
Yes, I definitely agree with you about the place of the world you are. I think it's more easily to other people around the electronic music. It's not that easy here in South America. I'm from Argentina, and the community around the techno and electronic music is not that big. I want to hear the opinion of two guys because they are from Colombia as well. I want to hear what is how is the community there. But before that, something that you said is really interesting, and also Kortzer say something around it in the introduction, is something that caught my attention around how the artists managed to go through the pandemic, you know, because all these events, all these recitals and these raves gathers a lot of people in real life, you know, a lot of crowd go there for having a good time. But during the pandemic is something that cut it off from straight roots. So how did you guys manage to make even out with more strength? You know, Kortzer, can you say me your experience here around what happened in the pandemic with your career? Did it stop? Do you manage to continue? How did it went?
Yeah, so for me, lockdown hit me pretty much smack in the face in terms of musical career. I was doing really well kind of up to that point when we locked down. I'd not long done some gigs in America. I'd recently sort of been across to Bratislava and to Belgrade to drugstore as well. And for me, it was a really good point. And lockdown kind of just took the energy away from that, sadly. And it was a pretty uninspiring sort of couple of years for me. And I didn't really spend any time producing or even listening to sort of techno or new music. And I kind of fell out of love a little bit, I guess, with it. And perhaps that was due to the lack of connection with other people and, you know, lack of connection with events. But it was almost a kind of reset for me. I spent a lot of time not producing, you know, not listening to stuff. And now kind of we're out of that stage and things have gone back to normal and I've been able to travel and, you know, see people and listen to music in different settings. It's reignited that fire. And I have, you know, over the last year started producing a lot more, releasing a lot more and kind of rebuilding those connections, I guess, that were once there and rebuilding that love and sort of affinity with spending time on it. So I think, if anything, lockdown kind of made me realise how important, I guess, other people and community was to me for that sound and for production as well. I always thought that it was something very personal and it was for myself, but I guess kind of looking back, it's highlighted how important, and like we were saying before, that sort of connection and community is particularly around electronic music. So yeah, in answer to your question, lockdown was tough. It killed the music for quite a long time, but now we're back and we're reset a bit. It's I've really refound that love again.
Well, that's great. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for sharing. Yes, I think it was a pretty huge challenge for everyone, you know, but most of all for artists, for music artists, because they need the audience, they need the crowd in real life. Is something that creates a strong bond, a strong connection with the audience, with the people, with the listeners. Is something that needs to be there. So I can't imagine how the artist made it into the pandemic. It's something that I always said in the space around the Web3 and the blockchain technology is another tool to add to the book of the artist, is another thing, but that doesn't take out the thing that being there present in real life and having concerts with the people is something really important. Strengthen this bond with the people, the connection, and of course the sound is not the same of hearing it online that hearing it in real life. Are both different experiences, but also I feel like a lot of people connected really good with the technology in that time. You know, the pandemic was or pretty bad or pretty good, because it was a huge opportunity for a lot of people to dive in into innovative things. I feel like it's really important to point that out as well. So Amir, tell me your experience around this, around the pandemic. I don't know, I don't remember if you said something about it. You were doing music at that point. Amir? Amir, are you there? Okay. Let's skip up. I want to hear about two guys as well, the same question, because I heard that you guys started creating in the pandemic. And for other people, maybe it was the worst moment to start, but I feel like, no, you saw the opportunity and was great. So I want you to hear your experience.
Actually, we started our project Two Guys Plus Machines in the pandemic. I remember it was fun because we took our press kit photos, the first ones, and 2 weeks later, the pandemic came. So it was very close, but I think it was a period for us as we started learning. You know, we started to experiment with the machines we have both before, so it was a time for us to stay at home making music every single day, practicing every single day. So we took advantage of it, I think. If we weren't at home, we couldn't made so much music and learn so much things that we learned in that period. So as you said, it for someone was really good time, for others was a really bad time, but I think we took advantage of the situation of being all the time in home and getting to the machines and getting to the hard work of learning music production. You know, it's not that easy. You have to take some patience, and we took the pandemic for that, to keep learning and, you know, to give that concept behind Two Guys Plus Machines.
Perfect. I think that you guys started in the best time, because maybe you needed to face a couple of struggles at the beginning, but make you stronger. And it's true that we had a lot of time. We had a lot of time without any doubt for doing anything inside home and concentrating, concentrating mode is something really important. I'm not an artist, but I realize that artists need to have this time to full focus in what they want to do, what they want to express. In this regard, I think the pandemic helped a bit around it. I want to hear also a couple of your experiences around the Web3 world, because I think that the pandemic helped a lot to connect the artists to the blockchain, to the technology, to another ways to promote their work. But before this question, I'm really interested to hear about the community in Colombia. How is that there?
Well, the electronic music community in Colombia has been growing a lot. The electronic music scene it started since like in the 2000s. There were like just one club in the downtown here in Bogota, but like from 2010 to 2020, the community started growing a lot. There began to be to open clubs in most of the main cities here in Colombia, in Medellin, in Cali. But after the pandemic, it grew a lot more, right? It grew like exponentially, because now you can go to clubs like in very little city, in a lot of little cities like Pereira, like even like very far away cities like Putumayo. We're going to play a gig in January in a place that it's called Pitalito, that it's 9 hours from Bogota. And yeah, the community is growing a lot. You can see international parties every weekend. Every weekend there are like two or three or four international DJs playing, even in holidays, even these holidays that is not usual to see international DJs here in Colombia for the Christmas or for the New Year's Eve, but we are already having those kinds of parties. So the community is growing a lot, especially the hard techno and industrial techno scene. It's like when after the pandemics, when everyone was at their home, we like to say that in Colombia we like to party. So when everyone was at home, like they wanted to go out and dance a lot. So after the quarantines stopped, everyone went out and started to dance. So that kind of scene grew a lot. But there is also other subgenres that are taking over the country, like house music, like tech house. Tech house is really popular here in Colombia, especially in Medellin and Cali. But yeah, the scene is growing a lot, and we're approaching that with happiness, because it's our country, right? Main DJs, international DJs from the international circuit touring, love to come here to Colombia because they love how the public enjoy their set. So it's amazing. It's an amazing community.
Wow! Really happy for my hermanos. Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Just wanted to hear that I heard many comments from like people touring and DJing and playing shows in South America, and that everybody likes it so much. So like I hope I'll give you guys a visit sometimes, and then just like listen to you in your place.
Yes, I didn't want to insult two guys with machine, but also I heard that since the people is really like partying there, I heard a lot of reggaeton, all of these genres going out of the country. I'm right?
Yeah, of course. Actually, reggaeton is our main party genre, and it has took over the world, you know. We were recently in Spain, and I was really surprised that everything they hear there is reggaeton. But yeah, I think it's another kind of electronic music genre. Actually, there is a genre that was born in Colombia that is guaracha, that is like a mix between reggaeton and EDM. I don't like it very much, but I think it's respectfully. Yeah, there is a say in Colombia that if you join three people together in the street, it is already a party. So yeah, we like to party a lot. That's why I think international DJs likes to come, because there is a great atmosphere and there is a great expectance about them. So anyone, if you guys want to come to party in Colombia, you have chosen the right brothers to get you some parties.
Yeah, sure. Yes, I made the joke because it's something that we heard a lot here in South America from other parts of the world. You know, they recognize some countries for different genres. And I think that it's great that you guys are working around electronic music there. In my personal opinion, I don't really like that kind of music, the reggaeton. So I really feel the difference. Also, I heard that some kind of mixing the people is trying to make. I like the pure style of the electronic, you know, but it's my personal taste, nothing to do with the conversation. Around this, also, are you open to mix your type of music with other genres?
Yes, of course. We love to sample a lot. So we sample like main Latin genres. Like we love to sample samba, we love to sample salsa, merengue, we love to sample also reggaeton, right? The old school reggaeton which we grow into. Because like there is old school reggaeton and new reggaeton that we also don't like that much. But we are inspired by every genre that we listen to. We love Colombian music. We don't used to love it, Colombian music, that much when we were younger. But after we learned how to produce music and the music richness that our country has, we started to get more into that music too, into our productions. We, like a couple years ago, like before the pandemic, we saw a documental that it's called La Clave, that it's the history of how reggaeton used the main rhythm of salsa, that is La Clave, to blend it with hip hop, and then reggaeton came out. So we love to put that rhythm bass in our music, in our performances. So it sounds a very Latin American production, right? So we love to blend those genres into electronic music. And it in last time when we were in Spain, in Amnesia and Ibiza, people like it a lot. So we love to do that.
Excellent. Thanks a lot. Thanks a lot for sharing. It's something really I feel really important as well. Yes, Andrew, go ahead.
Yes, I just wanted to ask Yaka to tell us a few words about the compilation he released recently, because it goes really good with the story of just two guys that just told us, and it's about like sampling and using the things from your, let's say, culture, from your country. So Yaka, if you can say just a few words, please.
Oh, sure. Thank you for asking. So basically, since I was doing a lot of remixes of the Croatian, let's say, pop music, but in electronic way, I was asked this summer to do a gig full night with my remixes. So I told them, guys, I don't have that much remixes for the whole night, but since they asked me, it opened up my mind, and I was like, okay, let's try to collect all the remixes of the Croatian and original songs from Serbia, Croatia, and Bosnia, since it's the same language. And there's a lot of friends doing these kind of remixes from time to time. And I took my time to collect all these remixes and did a gig with it, and it went very, very well. And for the last three months, I did, I think, around 10 live performances with all those remixes, and it gave me another idea to put to do a compilations like DJ mix from 1 hour on my YouTube channel. So I started uploading it, and the idea is to put the one mix from 1 hour at every month. And there are currently two mixes at my YouTube channel. So if you guys interested in to check, feel free to check. The people like it, and I'm very glad that they recognize it. So it's something, let's say, new in this part of region in Croatia. No one was doing it, so I'm very happy that people recognize it and that happened and people are following it. Yeah, thanks for asking once again.
Wow, that sounds insane. That sounds insane. Thanks, Andrew, for the question, and thanks here. Amir, are you there? No, we lost it. We lost Amir. Okay. Following up with the conversation, wanted to ask to Iaka something that I feel maybe will throw us to the field of the technology, to the Web3 world, maybe a bit. But how do you see the future of the engagement between fan and artist? You know, this relationship, I don't know if you feel it, if you feel that you are connecting well with the people that hear you, or is missing something. How do you see it in the future? Something around this.
Oh, that's also a good question. Yeah, it's not something that I thought a lot, but I can tell that I see people more and more trying to follow the artists they really like, and not just going crazy for some trends that are like more mainstream. So I see a lot of, like, I can say fans are asking for gigs, for merchandise, for everything that we put out. So I think this close connection with the fans through the channels like Instagram, all those platforms, X, even TikTok and everything, they are just making better for us. And I think the small artists can even live from just music. I can tell from my example, I'm doing remixes, I'm doing DJ gigs, people are coming, people are buying tickets, people are buying merchandise, they are interested in new gigs. I think a lot of the new ideas to put out. So I mentioned earlier that new concept of the Croatian remixes. it's something new and people recognize. So I like that it's going that way, and I'm thinking more and more how to do some exclusive content and like limited offers to my fans. It's not that big base, but still they are following me and it grows every from day to day. So yeah, that's something I can say about it.
Perfect. I think the same, you know. But also, we were speaking with a stand-up artist a couple of weeks back in the space, and I was paying really good attention to what he was saying, because he said that one part of his job was connecting with the people after making the show, you know, going out off the stage and trying to gather the feedback of the people there, what did they talked about their work. And I feel like this connection between the artist and the audience can be achieved easily in the technology, you know, in the Web3 world, which is where I'm living since a lot of time, is my specialty. But the technology overall, you know, is not the same, or at least in my experience, is not really, really good to go into a show, hear your favorite artist, but only hearing him like a superstar, like a god, you know, someone that you can't connect with, you can't be closer. I feel like this connection, which this guy from the stand-up world was saying the other day, I think it's really important. It's really important to grow this direct feedback, because help both of the parts, you know, the audience feels better for being heard and the artist can gather the feedback. It's something that I feel maybe the technology can help a lot, you know, can help a lot opening these channels of communication between each other. I don't know what Kortzer's is the opinion of this topic. Let me know, what do you think about this engagement between fan artists? Do you feel fair enough at this point, or this needs to change in some point, where this is pointing out in the near future?
I'd say from my experience, that's something that I'm perhaps a little bit disconnected with, particularly, you know, the Web3 stuff and, you know, different means that are available these days to connect with people. I'm perhaps a slight dinosaur when it comes to technology in that sense and need to kind of educate myself a little bit. But I think you know, with platforms like Instagram and stuff like that, where producers or DJs will, you know, ask questions on their story or get people to ask questions or write where they want to see them play, and I think certainly from when I first started out, you know, learning how to DJ to where we are now, you know, things have progressed an awful lot. You know, back then we were still just on Facebook pretty much talking to, you know, different creatives or following people on Facebook. And I guess that experience, compared to where we are sort of now, you know, having this kind of conversation is kind of testament to that. So I think it's easier than ever to connect with people, particularly as a fan. You know, you can drop into your favorite DJ or producer's DMs or inbox, and, you know, they might not necessarily see it or reply, but you've got a much, much higher chance of being able to, you know, talk to these people, connect with these people and engage with, you know, vice versa. You know, you're able to get engaged with fans and followers and connect with people all across the world rather than just, you know, your local community in the area that you're from. So, yeah, but like I say, this is great for me to kind of learn more about Web3 and all that kind of stuff. Because, like I say, I have no idea in regards to it, but yeah, I don't think it's ever been as easy as it is now.
Yes, I think that, like I was saying at the beginning, it's just another tool to add. You know, it's not for making the full focus on it. Of course, there are a lot of things to read. There are a lot of things to learn. It's true that you have a huge advantage being an artist from Web2. You are not starting, so it's more easier for people to connect with you in that aspect. But just that, you know, of course, we are always open to help you with a couple of questions around how Web3 work, how Spos can help you, because we have tools for empower artists jumping into this world. It's something that we are really early. A few people are only seeing this opportunity. I believe that 2024, 2025 will have a huge explosion of new onboarding, of new people jumping in, not only work, but also people who want to consume music, who want to consume artists in this regard. I think it's just another tool to add, something to take really, really in mind, because the technology is evolving day by day. As you guys were doing, adapting into what type of music you wanted to do, this is something new to adapt with. And it's pretty good that you are open to try it, you know, because that's the first step. We heard a lot of people that were afraid of jumping into this world. I don't know if you heard something bad of the Web3 world or nothing at all.
So I had a sort of vague conversation with Andre probably this sort of time last year, and he was, you know, telling me about what he was doing in regards to Web3 and stuff. And yeah, I mean, I don't really know too much. I just don't understand that it's this next platform, basically, which has, I don't know, more potential and capabilities in terms of what you can do and use it for. But other than that, yeah, I don't know.
Excellent, excellent. Yes, I think it's good for promoting, for connect. The mind utility, I think, is creating connections. A lot of people is here looking for new opportunities, looking to connect with maybe another producers or another artist. I think there is so much potential here. And I want to go with two guys around this question. And I know you guys have an NFT project, I'm right?
Yes. We have an NFT project. We're working with a meta label called Crypto Musica Records. They are helping us with our NFT project. We have our genesis a year ago. We work with a startup that is called Atlanticus, and they help us to mint our first collection. It was a collection that was like an honor for our Bernese mountain dog called Pipa. She passed away like a year ago, so it was like a tribute for her, for because she loved to be with us when we were making music, and we thought that it was like a very beautiful way to get into the world of NFTs. Right, we think that the technology that Web3 main objective is like to connect, right? Because as you said before, it's another channel for us in music business. The classic channels are not going to disappear like from one day to another, right? So we believe that it's an amazing channel for building community, for getting into new opportunities, for growing exponentially, because blockchain it's an I don't know how to say that in English, but I think it's like a 4.0 technology. It's a technology from the new industry revolution. So we think that we have to approach it in a very important way. It's an important I don't know how to say that in English, sorry. But it's an important tool for us to grow. And this year we have been growing a lot because of it, because we went to play in one of the biggest clubs in the world because of a Web3 community that is called Degenerates. They did a worldwide contest and we won. And that's one of the main proof that this technology works for getting people together, for us artists to grow, for growing. So we are like fans of blockchain, but we also know that we can't like stop doing everything we do in Web2, right?
Wow. Please tell me a bit more about the contest around this Web3 world, something that is really interesting to me.
Well, the contest... Esteban, if you want, go ahead.
Yeah, well, as Santiago told you, we had a great chance this year, and it was because Web3, you know. I believe that we could have never reached to play in Amnesia Ibiza with Wave 2. Probably yes, but it would take us a lot. And yeah, well, it was a contest organized by Degenerate, that is an NFT community, and by Clubcoin, that is positioning itself as the crypto of clubs and electronic music events. And well, it was a contest that started around, I believe, May, June. And it was a long one. It was 2 months about every week getting into mixes, every week getting into creative challenge. We have to mix a lot of stuff. I remember that it was a challenge about you have an empty room and you must fulfill it, and you have to be to do a warm-up for Chemical Brothers. Stuff like that that make you think and make you like create new stuff. But well, there were a lot of DJs, I think. It was a contest when you can find a lot of talent from around the world. There was people from South America, from Europe, from North America, from Asia, from pretty much everywhere. So when those 2 months came close, there were 20 semifinalists. The 20 semifinalists did a pre-recorded set, and they chose the 4 finalists. And well, it was, I think, great to know that we first played in the Virtual Amnesia on Decentraland. The finals were hosted there. And it was like this first experience about playing in the metaverse. Of course, I in a personal point of view, the experience can get a lot better. But we are just in the way, as you guys said before. It's an early industry. There is a lot of things to be done. And it will grow a lot in the couple of next years. But it is important just to be here right now, because tomorrow something new will happen and we all already will know. I believe also it's, of course, it's hard to understand Web3. It is hard to understand Web2. It is most hard to understand Web3. But I think we are getting on the way, and with patience, everything can be achieved.
Definitely agree. And also, let me say that in my personal opinion, you are being pioneers. You are being pioneers in the artist world, entering in Web3. As you say, I think that the metaverse will help a lot. Will help a lot around how to create. I even attend one concert in the metaverse. I remember a couple of months back. Was a pretty cool experience. You know, a lot of things that you can't do in real life. Of course, are two completely different things, different experiences. A lot of people will love more the real life, and other people maybe love more to be on the metaverse. But it's true that this is something that is really early, and I truly believe that you are being pioneers around this world. So congratulations on that from my side. I want to start to wrap this up. I know we are speaking for more than an hour, and I really, really appreciate your time here and your experiences, because we all are learning from what you guys are saying. Andrew, you wanted to add something, sorry?
Well, yes, I just wanted to thank the artists and for joining Carter, who now runs a label. So he's still an artist. anyways, like it was great listening to you guys. I invite you all to connect between. So like let's keep in touch and let's make some great things together, and please you continue doing your things, because you do amazing job, and I can't wait to hear something new from you. Yeah, that's it.
Excellent. So for starting the wrapping up, Yaka, what are your near future plans, and where can we catch you up?
So I think, as I mentioned, in the upcoming year, I'm celebrating 15 years of my professional career, like as a DJ and producer. So I think to push it up as much as I can. And for what I can say, it will be plenty of gigs, probably some gigs in Asia, some gigs in Africa, and in Europe also. And during the summer, I will do as I'm doing for the last few years. I'm doing a lot of gigs on the Croatia seaside, all around. So also I will release a lot more music that I was doing in the last couple of years, since I was doing gigs pretty much and didn't have that time to make a lot of music. But now after this summer, I prepared a lot of stuff and still doing in my studio for this winter, and I will be ready for the next year to push it as far as I can, because as I told, it's 15 years anniversary and my 35 years birthday. So I wanted to make it like big, yeah, for sure. So you can follow me on my networks and see everything around it. Yeah, thank you.
Excellent. Looking forward for what you are doing. And thanks a lot for your time. I honestly mean it. Something really important to us is having your time here and hearing you better. So thanks a lot, Jaka, for joining.
Thank you.
Now, Kortzer, what are your future plans, your near future plans, and where can we catch you up?
So, 2024 is going to be a year for me kind of to reconnect, I guess, with where I was sort of pre-lockdown, as I was saying earlier. So I've got a mix coming out on the 8th of January via Loose Lips, which is a platform that I'm a resident of. And as well, I will be having some releases on my own label, as well as some other labels throughout the year. So, yeah, it's just for me, it's just going to be about, as Andrew said, you know, I'm busy with sort of other stuff now these days. So it's about reconnecting with, you know, my music sides, my artistry, and getting more productions out there and gigs as well, hopefully. So that's my plans for 2024.
Great. Again, also the same. I really appreciate your time here. I love it to hear your experience, and your journey. Thanks a lot, Kortzer, for joining.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on, and thanks to everybody else for tuning in and listening. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay, and last two guys, what are your near future plans?
Well, we hope to continue to learn a lot, to keep improving our producer style, and keep learning about electronic music, Web3, and new technologies. I believe for the next year, we hope to travel around Colombia to have some gigs. We're starting the year in Pitalito, as Santiago told you guys. And we are planning to have maybe an European tour about August, something like that. Also, we have already most of our releases already planned for the first half of the year. So we hope to release a lot of music, to keep a lot of connections, and to make a lot of friends on this electronic industry world.
Excellent. Looking really forward of what you guys are doing, and I will keep an eye on the NFT collection, on the project, because it's something that I really love the most. And again, the same, guys, for both of you, I really appreciate your time being here. It's something that we love to have people from all over the world. We hear the experiences and we learn. We learn a lot. In Spots, we are a project that we want to serve. We want to serve the artists. We want to help them. And in that way, we will help us growing as well. So thanks a lot, everyone, for joining. Just for reminding the people, this space will be recording. And I invite you guys to check out Spots Club in our socials, the tools that we are developing, the tools that are already out. The marketplace is out. This is a pretty good one. You can create an NFT collection. You can trade. You can upload your NFTs that are already there. So we are releasing more tools soon. So please keep an eye on. And thanks a lot, everyone, for joining. See you next week with another Artist Weekly. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys. Thanks for the invitation. Bye. Had a great time.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, bye-bye, guys.
Thanks for everything.